BC have been engaged in the work of repatriation. That involves bringing ancestors and belongings back to their territory from museums, institutions, and personal collections. And two new reports are shedding light on that work. They were completed by the First Peoples Cultural Council. The first identifies thousands of items held in collections across the world, and the second looks at the actual costs and budgets of First Nations communities for repatriation. That research is intended to be used as a tool in repatriation efforts. For more on this, we have reached Gretchen Fox. She is an anthropologist with the First Peoples Cultural Council. Good morning, Gretchen.
Good morning, Catherine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us. Let's start with this first report. What work went into compiling that list of belongings and ancestors held around the world?
There was considerable amount of research carried out for that. And as you mentioned, BC First Nations are really leaders across Canada in repatriation. And these reports reflect their voices and their expertise. So First Peoples Cultural Council worked with the Haida consulting firm Q Enterprise Corporation to lead this work and develop the reports. So Q carried out extensive research, survey work, interviews with BC First Nations and museums who are leading the way in repatriation.
And how many items and ancestors were identified in the report?
In the report, that's actually one of the most notable findings, was that research carried out for the report involved surveys with over 400 cultural institutions. And there was about a 50% response rate, but just from 229 institutions, they identified over 2,500 ancestors and nearly 100,000 belongings just associated with BC First Nations that are held in cultural institutions around the world.
Wow. And you said only half of those institutions responded?
That's right. We're still waiting for more data to come in, and hopefully those institutions will complete those surveys and so we can add to this database of knowledge.
Has this kind of work been done before when it comes to compiling a list of items and the institutions that hold them?
Not in this sort of centralized, focused way that we know of. Many First Nations have decades of experience doing repatriation, so they may have their own databases based on their own research with institutions. But this is a really groundbreaking report, bringing all of that information together, connecting it to the history of the theft and the taking under duress of ancestors and belongings, and then charting a roadmap forward.
And talk about this cost analysis of the repatriation work. What did you find there?
So the cost analysis is a shorter companion report to the larger research report, and it's a tool for estimating costs. The idea is that it will be able to be used by BC First Nations who are in the planning and preparing stages, so it's more the early stages of this repatriation work, to really cost out the on-the-ground expenses that are involved in repatriation. It's a huge undertaking. It involves things like technology to do the research, travel to institutions to locate, identify, and build relationships with the museums and universities. There are also personnel costs, project management, researchers, and then there are the actual costs of packing and transporting belongings back to community, and of course the caretaking afterwards, whether that's in a museum or a cultural center within a community, or whether it's through an agreement with a museum to hold and caretake, or in the case of ancestors, reburial and all of the ceremony and important community work that goes along with that. It's all quite expensive.
When you consider these two reports, what do you think it means for the scope of work when it comes to repatriation?
Well, repatriation is obviously it's a huge long-term undertaking, and it needs to be led by BC First Nations. It's first and foremost, it's a moral and ethical imperative, and it's expensive, yes, but it's a necessary investment in BC's collective heritage, and it's a really important part of reconciliation.
Is your hope that museums and governments will read these reports and consider them as well?
Oh, yes. Definitely. These reports are reflect the voices and the stories of BC First Nations, but it's a collective responsibility and an opportunity for everyone. So repatriation benefits all British Columbians. It has is so impactful for communities in cultural and spiritual ways, of course. But there's also this exciting repatriation economy that's emerging around the work in jobs like carpentry, museum, curatorial jobs, things like IT, tourism, all of these economic drivers around repatriation. So it benefits everyone, but we can't lose sight of the key importance of the healing, reconnecting, and reconciliation.
Can you talk a little bit more about that the cultural impacts of repatriation when nations can bring their belongings and their ancestors home?
Yeah, there are just these enormous, important cultural and spiritual impacts. Like I mentioned, the healing and the reconnecting, the ability to carry out responsibilities to ancestors, to care for and learn from belongings. There are also some connections in this report with repatriation to First Nations on the island. The report has 16 case studies featuring repatriation stories, and a few of those from the island would be featuring the Omista Cultural Center in Alert Bay. They brought home a whole collection of their stolen potlatch collection. Ucluelet First Nation built a cultural library to house and share their repatriated belongings. And then in another example, the Wissanich worked with the Simon Fraser University to repatriate a ceremonial stone bowl, saving it from export and sale.
How do you hope that the nations in this province use the information in these reports and help guide their work?
Well, that's a really good question. We really hope that these reports can be taken and used as tools and roadmaps and learnings from First Nations who have really paved the way for this work. So understanding that the history, there is a huge section in the report that talks about the actual work, so the step-by-step work involved in repatriation, all the way from community engagement and planning at the very beginning to caretaking once belongings and ancestors have been brought home. And then, of course, the repatriation cost analysis, using that tool for estimating costs, for understanding the scope and scale. Of course, there's tremendous diversity across BC First Nations, and the way that a First Nation community or organization might choose to engage in repatriation reflects that diversity. So this is a flexible tool for them to use to understand and estimate the costs of their own repatriation journey at whatever pace and scale that may look like.
Well, Gretchen, it's really great to hear about it this morning. Thank you for sharing your work with us.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
That's Gretchen Fox, an anthropologist with the First Peoples Cultural Council. It's just a few minutes now before